Sunday is the Trip to Hell organization meeting. Now, if you've never been involved with Trip to Hell, you need to take a trip to hell. So you will go to take a trip to heaven, all right? But we need you to be involved. We've got lots of needs, scene directors, makeup artists, costume designers, set designers, the whole thing. We are going to have 10 power-packed scenes that are going to begin in Building 2, and we're going to walk them through that creepy old building down in Building 1, and it's going to be awesome. The old sanctuary, the Hawks Room, is going to be a club scene, that big old area there, and it's going to be amazing. They'll walk down the hallway into a maze, the connecting corridor. We got it all outlined. The only thing's missing is you. So we need your involvement. Please help us. We launch September 27th. That's Friday night, family and friends and media night. Then the 28th for the first weekend. And then through October into the first, November 1st and 2nd as well. So we're believing God for great things. Now let me tell you, if you haven't heard yet, they put it on social media. There's like a fan page or something. And in 7 days, they had 3,100 likes. That's a lot of people. Now, if you don't know what that means, that translates into... See, if you get on there and you like it, then that goes to all your friends. So say there's 3,100 people and their accumulated friends are 30,000. So those 3,000 then went to 30 more thousand people that are knowing and finding out about this. So I'm telling you, it could be huge. We could see a lot of people come to Jesus. And we want you to be praying about being a counselor, an actor, actress, whatever. You know, whatever God's going to lay on your heart. And here's the beauty about it. Hector, you don't have to be outside. Hector is one of our veterans of Trip to Hell. And he would intimidate people at the maze. And he would just put the fear of Jesus right in them, I'm telling you. But he'd have to sit out there in the rain, the snow, the sleet, the cold. Here, we're going to be inside. And it's going to be a pretty nice situation, actually. So please be a part of it, okay? Amen? All right. How about we get to the Bible tonight? Now, this is my summer exhortation to you. Over the next couple of weeks, 8 weeks, this is a message I think if you'll focus on, you'll be different as a result. 8 weeks from now, you'll come back stronger in God. You'll come back more focused in Jesus. So I'm going to go to a familiar portion of Scripture. This is a synoptic illustration or parable. What I mean by that is there are three Gospels that have this story in it. It's called synoptic. In other words, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give this story. And it's the parable of the seed and the sower, okay? So let's go to Luke chapter 8 tonight, verses 4 through 8. And I want us to begin looking at the importance of sowing and also planting, all right? Here we go, Luke 8, verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they came to him in every city, he spoke by a parable. In verse 5, just keep it going as I'm reading it. A sower went out to sow his seed. And he sowed, and watch this, some fell where? By the wayside. And what happened when it was falling by the wayside? It got trampled down. That's important for us to remember. And the birds of the air devoured it. Isn't it interesting? It got trampled before the birds even got to it. So that's an important point. And only Luke brings this out. Matthew and Mark don't even talk about this. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked what?
Moisture.
It lacked moisture. That's a very important ingredient in a vegetable garden. If you don't water it, guess what? It's going to dry out. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and what happened?
Choked
it. Now that's an interesting word in the Greek, and we'll get to it in just a couple of minutes. But the word choked is very critical to the atmosphere in which you live. Verse 8, but others fell on good ground. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Amen, that's me. It sprang up and it yielded a crop of 100-fold. Look, if you're going to do this, 30 and 60 is cool, but man, let me go for the 100-fold, right? So when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now let me introduce to you to the only two constants in this story. There are two of them. That is the sower and the seed. They're unchanging. Throughout this parable, the sower and the seed are constant. Here's the variables. The soil. Now let me equate the soil with the context of this parable. The soil is really levels of hearing. Hearing determined what kind of soil the seed was being sown into. So today, if we're going to have good soil, we need to have good hearing. We need to be able to have a tuned in ear to the voice of God. Now, there are a lot of speculation about this ground, but let me just term them this way for you. The first is futile ground. Futility. In other words, empty promises. It never really came to pass. The second ground is what I like to call false hope ground, meaning unfulfilled potential. There's probably nothing worse than see somebody who has potential and it's never reached. That's what this ground represented, the second ground. It was false hope. And then there was the fruitful soil. The fruitful soil are what I like to call prime prospects. And I just want to announce this tonight. I'm here at church with some prime prospects. I'm here at church tonight with supernatural superstars. Now, you may not feel like you're a superstar, but I think you are. I think you're a supernatural superstar. And you're a prime prospect for 100-fold return. It's all about hearing, and it's all about acting and receiving on the Word of God. Now, sometimes it's hard to motivate people. Have you ever noticed that? You may have a difficulty motivating yourself. But listen to this. People are a lot like wheels. They don't work unless they're pushed. That's how some people work. They're a wheel, but they're stationary until somebody pushes them. I'm here to push you tonight. Thanks. Some people are like trailers. They have to be pulled. Well, if I can't push you, I'm going to pull you. But I know one thing. I'm going to move you from where you are to where God wants you to be. Some people are like kites. You keep them on a string or they're going to fly away. I'm going to rope you. I'm going to tell you right now, God is going to make you and me into supernatural superstars, kicking and screaming. It's going to happen. Watch this. Some people are like canoes. You already got that one figured out, don't you? They have to be paddled. Some are like blisters. I love this one. They always show up after the work is already done. That's what a blister does, doesn't it? But you know what? We can work with you. We can work with you. Or some people are like balloons, puffed up, full of hot air. Some are just puffed up, full of hot air. Or how about people like flat tires? They have to be jacked up once in a while and changed. I don't know about you, but if you need to be changed, don't let your pride prevent you from the Holy Spirit doing a new work in your life. Or finally, some people are like lights, always switching off. And on, off, and on. But today, I want to just share with you for the next couple of minutes how these soils are so vital to our supernatural superstar status. That's what I'm going for. I'm going for the gold. I'm going for the good, better, best, not letting it rest. To my good turns to better, my better turns into best. I'm never going to be satisfied with good enough. And I'm not going to be satisfied with better. Not until I reach the ultimate goal of my potential. I don't care how old I am. I don't care what happens around me. I have already convince myself I will not be denied, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. How about you? Have you come to that point in your Christian life where you say, I will not be denied, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit, because I'm going to reach supernatural superstar status. Now let's get to this futile ground. Empty promises. We're looking at Luke 8 and verse 5. Sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Only Luke mentions the word trampled down. Here's what it means. It means they come for information, but they don't have intake of the information. It stays on the surface. It only becomes knowledge, but it never becomes rhema. It becomes logos, knowledge, but never practically applied and initiated into their life. It becomes trampled down. In other words, it's sort of like James chapter 1 and verse 22 says. You know this verse, but I'm going to put it up because I want you to read it again in your mind with me. It says, be doers of the word. Obey the message. And not merely listeners to it. Betraying yourself. Look at what happens. When we hear it and don't do it, we betray ourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. I want to take this one step further and read Matthew chapter 5 in verse 13. This is a familiar verse as well, but it ties into this trampled down concept. Let's read it together. You want to try it? Come on, let's read it. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now here's the truth. Luke takes this truth and applies it to the kind of listening and hearing level which is futile soil. In other words, promises never fulfilled. Emptiness. The word comes in, but the word never works. You hear the word, but we never do the word. It's sort of like the salt losing its flavor. It is no longer innate in the salt. So therefore, what good is the salt? If the salt's not salty, what do you do with salt that's lost its saltiness? It's trampled under the feet of men. In other words, it becomes a roadway. It becomes trampled by others. It becomes a surface that becomes hardened. And really, what we're reading here is that there is a want or a desire, hear this, of inherent power. Now, what is inherent power? It's called innate ability. When you hear the word and do the word, it goes from knowledge to becoming who you are. So when you are challenged in life with marriage, money, business, relationships, anger, unforgiveness, whatever it might come, because you're a doer of the word, the promises of God's word are living in you, it's an innate response. In other words, when someone hurts you or offends you, your first response is, I'm not going to get even with that person. I can't believe she did that. Boy, wait till she gets a piece of my mind. No, that's not how you respond. Because you have your saltiness, because it's become inherent in you, your first response is the word response. You bless those who persecute you. You pray for those who despitefully use you. You do good to them. I told someone today who had really hurt me, they offended me, but I swear before Jesus tonight, okay, can I do that? I honestly said to them, I believe the best in you. I'm believing the best for you. I have no grudge against you. I have nothing. I hold nothing against you. I believe in you, And I was able to say that without a struggle. You know why? Because the salt is in me. It's an innate response. If somebody hurts me, I want to pray for them. If somebody rejects me, I want to bless them. Why? Because that's what the Bible says to do. You overcome evil how? With good. And so here is what's happening in this first soil. It's people that are hearing the word, but they're not intaking. It's not going into their heart and life. It doesn't become an innate response. So they go to church, but they're still angry. They go to church, they're still grumbling, complaining. They go to church, I hear another sermon, but they're still bitter against somebody that's hurt their feelings. Constantly, it's this struggle, and it's because they've lost their saltiness. I don't want to lose my saltiness. And when I look over the summertime in my life, I said, God, I want to take an inventory every day of my life to make certain that the word I've received has become innate. I don't even have to think about it. It's who I am. It's what I do. It's how I respond. Because the word is active. It's salty. I want to be a salty Christian. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, look at verse 12. This is now the interpretation. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now watch this. Can you keep that up there for a minute, that scripture? Notice, the ones that are in this futile soil, the ones that never fulfill the promises of God, are the ones that hear the word, but the enemy takes the word away because the enemy doesn't want them to believe. In other words, to make it inherent, and they will be saved. Salvation is soteria. It's not just eternal life. It means peace, wholeness. It means joy. It means healing. It means overjoy. It means the fruit of the Spirit. It means kingdom life. So salvation is the whole package. Here's what the devil wants. He wants us to have a mental assent with no power. And he steals the word. He steals the word. Where are you leaking? Where are you losing your saltiness? Come on. I'm going to go around and test. I'm going to lick your arm. And if I don't taste any saltiness, I'm going to go, oh, dude, what's up with your salt? Where's it at? See what I'm saying? Okay, so that's the first one. Then I want us to go to unfulfilled potential. If you look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 6, some fell on rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked what? Moisture. It lacked moisture. Verse 13 says, those that are on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root. Who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Every day of my life, I am doing everything I can to strengthen my root system. My root system is my word system. Because I know this, that if my roots go down deep, what do the roots do to the plant? Huh? Give life. How? Extracts out of the soil what? Minerals, moisture, and feeds it to the plant. No root, no moisture. No moisture, no life. That's the devil's plan, is to keep you low on moisture. Now let me throw something at you. You ready to catch it? All right, here we go. Fastball, high and inside. Catch it. Ephesians 5:26. The Bible talks about washing with the water of the Word. The Word of God is equated with water. Did you know when the enemy was cast out, he was cast out into dry places. The enemy is cast out into dry places because that's where he belongs. You and I don't belong in dry places. You and I belong in a rainforest. In other words, you've got to water your soul every day with the Word of God. You know, when I get up in the morning, I get into my Word, and I'm doing it because I am watering my soul. I am watering my spirit. I am giving my garden the chance to grow. So you do that with the Word of God. Now, friends, I know that a majority of Christians, not you tonight because you are supernatural superstars, but a majority of Christians don't water their soul. They don't read the Bible. Are you kidding me? They never read their Bible. They only pick up their Bible to come to church, and they don't do that anymore. So when you're looking at not watering your garden, how do you expect the garden to grow without moisture? It doesn't happen. So if you're going to make a decision, make it tonight, that I am not going to allow my spirit to dry up. I'm not going to allow my spirit to shrivel up. I'm going to grow a deep root system. And therefore, nothing will interfere with that. Now, I often have people ask me, Pastor, can you meet with me tomorrow morning for breakfast? And I say, no, I cannot. I have an appointment. They say, well, I was thinking around 8 o'clock early. I said, no, I have an appointment. All right, can you make it at 7? I said, no, I have an appointment. You have appointments early? I said, yeah, I have appointments every day at, you know, probably around 5:30 to about 8:30 in the morning. What do you do? I said, well, it's just an appointment. I have to do it. They don't need to know what I do, but I have an appointment with my Word. I have an appointment with Jesus. And I don't do anything. And so if people ask me to come to a pastor's meeting, I had an invitation to go to a pastor's meeting today. It was at 10 o'clock. Now, that's my study time on Thursday morning. I need to be in the Word. So I had to get up extra early, and I started my study time at 7 o'clock so I can go to this meeting at 10 o'clock. But I don't let anybody, anything, anyone violate my watering time. And if you are, your root system is in jeopardy. And if your root system is in jeopardy, what God is trying to grow in your life is in jeopardy. And if it dries up and shrivels on the vine, it's because you haven't watered it. I'm telling you, John 6:63 says, my words are spirit and they are life. And if you don't give the Word of God in your soul and in your spirit on a daily basis, you are drying up on the vine. And that's what this parable talks about. Inspiration, no internalization. Inspiration, but not internalizing the Word of God. A lot of people have emotional moments. I can see people on Sunday morning come to these altars and there's tears, 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 tears. And I love tears. They're great. But you know what? Emotional moments don't get it. We're passing out tissues to everybody on Sunday morning. They're boo-hooing up here, snotting all over the place. And go right back and dry up on the vine. Why? Because they have an emotional moment. What they really need is a personal mandate. That I refuse to live the way I've been living up to this point. I've had an encounter with God. The Holy Spirit's touched me. And from this point, I'm changing my lifestyle. I'm going to make sure that I water my garden. Now, let's go back to that scripture for a minute. I want you to see verse 6. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, if you look at verse 13, it's a parallel to verse 6. He said the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root. Who believe for a while, and in time of, what's the next word? Temptation. Fall away. Everybody say temptation. Temptation will make you fall away. Okay, temptation, they fall away. But watch this. Go back to the synoptics. Matthew has this account. Mark has this account. A good way to study the Bible is to see all three accounts. There are actually what they call synoptic Bibles that you could get where they have the counts next to each other. You could read it in Matthew, read it in Mark, read it in Luke, and you could compare and contrast the perspectives and what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach. Matthew was a Jew. He was revealing Jesus as the King. Mark was a Greek. He was revealing Jesus as a servant. Luke was a physician. He was revealing Jesus as the Son of Man and in touch with the feelings of humanity. So when you begin to see that and you see the perspectives, you go, okay, wait a minute. Let me check out what Luke said temptation. Let's see what Matthew said. And what did Mark say? Well, Luke uses temptation, but Matthew uses tribulation. Temptation, tribulation. A little bit different perspective, right? Mark, though, uses affliction. So now we see, if we can go back to the verse in verse 13, if you could put it back up for me, please. It says that they fall away because of temptation, Luke says. But Matthew says, not temptation, but rather tribulation. So in a time of tribulation, they fall away. And then hold it there. Mark says, no, in a time of affliction, they fall away. So what do we say? Affliction, temptation, tribulation will cause people to fall away. Well, the word fall away in the Greek is very interesting. It comes from a compound Greek word. But before I get there, let me help you with tribulation and affliction. The Bible is so exhaustive. And if you and I are going to have supernatural superstar status, we're going to have to guard against drying out our spirit. We're going to have to guard against allowing internal pain and external pressure from stealing away the word. That's what that actually means. Temptation, affliction, tribulation. In the Greek it says, because in a time of internal pain and external pain, they fall away. You know what the devil wants to do? Put you in the vice of external pain and internal pain and squeeze the word right out of you. What it's talking about with falling away literally means, or better translated, they walk away. They depart. They quit because of external pressure and internal pain. It is the double whammy of the enemy. That's how he steals away the word. And people walk away because I can't take it anymore. I'm at the end. I can't do this anymore. I quit. The devil goes, yeah, you ought to quit. Yeah, you ought to give up. You ought to just walk away. Nobody cares about you anyway. Then we read something very interesting in verse 14, talking about the same soil, actually. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked. Okay? Can you say the word choked?
Choked.
Now, here's an interesting word. Go down to verse 33 in the same chapter, chapter 8. And if you're looking at your Bible, I don't think I have it on the screen, but if you're looking at it, verse 33, the word choked shows up again. Do you see it up there? Where?
Drowned.
It means drowned. So the demons went out of a man, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake, and they what? Drowned. It's the same Greek word translated in Luke 8 a few verses earlier that says what? Cares, pleasures, and riches drown the Christian. Now let me explain that to you. What happens when a person drowns? They bring into their lungs excess amounts of water. How many know we don't have gills? Okay. So if you jumped in the lake tonight and said you're going to live on the bottom of the ocean, you will... You know why? Because you and I were not created for that atmosphere. You follow me? Now, I don't know if you've ever done this before. Don't be mean to fish. But if you ever pull a fish out of a fishbowl and lay it on the table and watch it, its little gills will begin to function because it's trying to do what? Breathe. But how many know fish can't breathe air? They get their oxygen from Did you know that when you take a fish out of water, you drown it? I know that sounds weird, but you literally drown it in air. It dies because it's not created to function in that atmosphere. You follow what I'm saying? Neither are you and I created to live in water. That's not our atmosphere. So now that you've got that, let's go back to the scripture. There it is. Oh, you got, already got it up there. Wow. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they've heard, go out and are drowned or choked with what? Cares, riches, and pleasures of life. Cares, riches, and pleasures of life are not atmospherically correct or adequate for your and my supernatural superstar status. You will drown in that atmosphere. The moment you begin to rely and depend upon cares, riches, and pleasures of life to bring you life, as a Christian, it will do to you what air does to a fish. It'll take your life away. That's what Jesus is teaching about the parable of the sower and the seed. You follow what I'm saying? So therefore, what I must do is I must evaluate my atmospheric condition. Am I living in a concern or a fishbowl where cares, riches, and pleasures of life are what I am attempting to receive life from? If I am, I am destined to die, because as a Christian, I'm not created to live in that atmosphere. It will drown me. You follow me? It will choke me out. Watch this. Here's what happens. Cares and worries. Cares and worries are this. People worry about not having enough, but that would be bad enough if that's all it was. It actually means not having enough, but also worried about having less. Worried than having less than what their parents had. Worried about having less than what their good friends have. Worried about having less than what their neighbors have. The Joneses, keep up with the Joneses. And so we are always concerned about what we have and the entitlement we feel we deserve. We have a generation that live among the entitled generation. There is a caring atmosphere. Secondly, riches. Riches are basically delusions. Thinking that if you had money, you'll be happy. Now, money will make you happier. But money in itself will never make you happy. It's a deceit of riches. Thirdly, pleasures or amusements. Pleasures comes from a Greek word, and it's spelled H-E-D-O-N-E. Hedone. Hedone, we get the English word hedonism from. Have you ever heard of hedonism? Well, hedonism basically means the lust for material or natural things. So what we see, pleasures in the Greek are atmospheric conditions that appeal to our carnal nature, that appeal to the natural man. Feel good, taste good, do good. That's what I long for. And so I begin living for that. I don't want to lust for other things. When I do, I am risking drowning. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, I want to go to the last verse, verse 14. I know I spent a lot of time on those two soils, but listen to this. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they've heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. And I want you to read the last phrase with me. This is essential. This is vital for you to get. If you remember anything over the summer, if I never preach another sermon on Thursday night again and we all go to heaven and we're on the north side going, no! Goes. Okay, cool. Remember this. Ready? Let's read it. And bring no fruit to maturity. And bring no fruit to maturity. In other words, the atmosphere wasn't conducive for the life that's been created by the Word. They are drowning in this atmosphere, cares, riches, and pleasure. And here's the result. They bring no fruit to maturity. What is he actually saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, based on the Greek word maturity, compound Greek word, carry, end. That's what the word is. Maturity is translated from the Greek word compound, carry, end. Watch this. And they bring no fruit to the end, or carry no fruit to the end. What is that talking about? It's carrying things to its completion and not stopping halfway. Unfulfilled potential. Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing we cannot do in the kingdom of God and accomplish. For with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. I believe that if God be for you, who can be against you? I believe that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. How do I know that? It has become innate in me. It's inherent. It's a power that drives me and rejects every other position and definition of life. And when the cares and the pleasures and all of these things, riches, try to come into my life, try to pull me out of my little fish tank, I jump right back in because I know I can't live in that atmosphere. I wasn't created for that. That's not who I am. You have to understand who you are and recognize you are not created to live in that atmosphere. You will drown. But the consequence of your drowning, doggone it, the consequence of our drowning is that we never carry things to its completion. You die unfulfilled. How many people yet need to be saved, need your life in their life? And if you're over here drowning, you didn't bring to completion their salvation. Now, I'm not trying to put guilt on anybody. I'm just helping you understand the consequences of our cutting life short. You know, every day, most every day, I should say, there are some days I don't speak it, but I say, Lord, I thank you for church on the North Coast, East and West. I thank you, Father, that we are living out our purpose, that there is no premature deaths among us, and we are fulfilling our assignment and all that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And I pray that almost every day because I want you, I want me to fulfill my purpose on this earth. I just don't want to come into church. If I have a book in me, I want to write it. If I have an invention in me, I want to create it. If God puts something in me, some kind of a concept to reach people for Christ, I want to realize it. I don't want to stop short. I don't want to go halfway like Abraham's father, Terah, did. Halfway to the promise, halfway to fulfillment. If you do anything this summer, let this word resonate in your heart. And do what? Well, first of all, let me help you. Remember that you must intake that word so it becomes innate. It becomes your natural response. Supernaturally. Remember what else? That you don't want to lose your flavor, that innate deposit that sets you apart. What else? You want to remember that you have to water your garden every day. You have to take that word. You know, this morning, I didn't get enough word in because I got up around, I think it was 4 a.m. I had to get up at 4 a.m. I'm tired right now. I'm tired. I got up at 4. Why did I get up at 4? Because I couldn't sleep. Why couldn't I sleep? Because I knew I had to do a lot of, I had to start studying at 7. But I had to go to my workout. And then after my workout, I had to get in my word. And so I had a lot of things to do. And you say, well, why didn't you just sleep in? Jesus understands. No! I've got to water my garden. Are you kidding me? Do you know how hot it is out here? Do you know how much heat there is everywhere? Do you know the kind of famine there is in this world? Don't you even get thee behind me, Satan. And so I have to take that very seriously. So I got about a 20-minute power nap this afternoon. Came home, laid on the floor. Alarm went off. Boom, out to my next appointment. And I'm all right. And I'm going to tell you one thing. My vegetable's growing. Right? You got to make that commitment. And then third, you've got to bring the fruit to maturity. Come on, folks. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Don't just start the race. Finish the race. Finish strong. Don't serve God all your life and then get goofy. Don't jump out of the atmosphere of spiritual life for cares, riches, and pleasures. Don't do that. You can't live in that. And then finally, the word here occurs 9 times in this text. How many think that maybe Jesus has something to do with us hearing and how deep we will grow? It's all centered on, do I hear His voice? Luke 8:15. I told you I was going to end with the other verse, but I got one more. And the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, what did they do? Say it real loud, please. Keep it. Keep it. Keep it and bear fruit with patience. Keep it and bear fruit. Where else did you see that in the Bible? Where did you hear keep it and bear fruit? Anybody remember? Where did you hear that? You heard it in the Garden of Eden. When man was created by God, what did God say? He said, tend it and keep it and do what? Be fruitful. This is all the fulfillment of God's original design and purpose for man. That we keep it. And that we bear fruit. And we have dominion. This is all about the fulfillment of what was lost in the garden when Adam sinned. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been given this great opportunity to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Oh my goodness, why aren't we taking advantage of it? Why aren't we doing it? Keep it means to hold fast, retain unswervingly. This is my last scripture, I promise. Hebrews 10, verse 23. This is a powerful word. I use this scripture a lot in my life. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, our expectation, without wavering. For he who promised is what? God's faithful. If you hold on to the confession of your faith. Prime prospects, supernatural superstars, are people who just don't let go. They just don't let go. And like Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you what? Until you bless me. And here's how I want to close this service tonight. I want you to make a prayer of commitment and dedication to the Lord that says, Father, I will not let go. I won't loosen my grip. I won't turn my back. I won't walk away. I will complete this thing to the end. I will be a doer, not a hearer. I will be a salty Christian. I will have an innate response. I will water my garden. I will keep and bear the garden of God. Would you make that prayer tonight? You guys don't have to come up. This is good. Just close your eyes and pray that prayer right now. Come on, everybody, just pray it in your own words, silently there, or maybe out loud. But Father, right now, as we just make this prayer of commitment and dedication, we say we're not going to let go. We're not letting go. We're not letting down. We're not backing off. We're not going to just get relaxed. We're not going to become part of the status quo. We refuse. We're going to keep the pedal to the metal. Father, this is one group of people that don't have to be pushed, that don't have to be pulled, that don't have to be kept on a string, that don't have to be paddled, that don't have to be blown up with a bunch of hot air, who don't have to be jacked up or changed or switched off and on. This is a group of people who are supernatural superstars in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, why don't you receive Him tonight? Why don't you commit your life to Christ? I'm talking about to Christ, not the church, not some ideology, not some preacher. How about to Christ? How about to Jesus Himself? Pure, 100% Jesus. Why don't you do that tonight? So if that's you tonight, you say, Pastor, I need to do that. I need to commit my life to Christ. Pray for me. Man, if that's you, would you hold your hand up? so I could pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? I just got to do that. Thank you. Put it down. Anybody else? You know, I just need to do that 100%. I want 100% pure orange juice. I mean, 100% pure Jesus. Come on. That you? That's right. Well, make that prayer right now. Just tell him. Say, Jesus, I come to you tonight and I recommit my life to you. I ask you to forgive me all my sin, and I make a covenant with you at this very moment that I'm going all the way with you. I'm not going to turn back. I'm going all the way, and I will not let go in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, happy Thursday, everybody. And we'll be off next weekend, and then we'll start our Summer Slams. But sign up. Hey, July 21st is Summer Slam Sunday night. We're going to have a hoot nanny service in here. And then out in the east, we're going to do it on August 18th. Another Summer Slam Sunday night service out there. And that's how we're going to just kick the devil until he can't hardly move. All right? He's already been defeated, but we're going to defeat him some more. Jesus already defeated him, right? We're victorious. The kingdom is here. We are moving in the power of God. We are overcomers, right? We're not catching up. We're running him down. Amen. Come on, stand up to your feet. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Sunday morning, I'm going to preach to you a message out of my own personal life of the whirlwind that I've been in the last 6 months. And God showed me something about the whirlwind. He said, you know what? The whirlwind is my transformation process because storms transform. And man, when I got that, I said, okay, God, show me. And in the middle of storms, there was powerful things that happened throughout the Bible. Ezekiel saw it. We see the disciples in the upper room. Elisha saw it. David witnessed it. And so are you and so are I. And if there's anybody you know going through a storm right now in their life, I don't care what kind of crisis it is, you bring them to church Sunday. And say, if they don't like it, we'll give them their money back. Full refund of their ticket, all right? Just tell them to come and hear this word, and I think they're going to get victory. That'll be this Sunday morning. I'm looking forward to it. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. See you next time. God bless you. Have a great summer.